ontvang, maar die Here sê vir my twee goed. Maak reg vir die doop en maak reg vir duiwels uitdrywing. Ons hoef nie voor te berei nie. En ek en hy het gaan sit by 'n tafel en ons het net daar gesit en ons probeer voorberei en die hele tyd is die Here besig om ons weg te vat van dit wat ons wil doen. Want Len het opdrag gegee dat ons die ouens moet gaan vertel wat voor 12 is en 'n bietjie wat communities is en al daai goed. En ons het opgedaag daai aand. Ons het nooit vertel van voor 12 of die communities nie. Maar die Here het die duiwels uitgedryf en die ou laat doop. Want hy het gesê ek gaan daar wees. En hy het 'n stoere NG predikant tot in trane gehad. Dat hy sy hoop nie op die kerk sit nie, maar sy hoop op die Here sit. En ek glo dat deur dit wat daar gebeur het, en die klomp mense wat daar was, dit was 'n verskillende klomp denominasies wat daar gesit het, dat die Here het sy krag daar kom wys vir ons. En van daai tyd af het die Here sy woord vir my begin oopmaak in dit wat hy graag wil hê waartoe ons ook moet gaan. Of ek. Van die elderskamp af het Andrew hulle gekom en gesê ons moet Jesus bedien. Ons moet Jesus bedien. Want Jesus is die weg. Daar's geen ander weg nie. Jesus is die middelpunt van God se hele plan. En ons kan nie weggaan van Jesus af nie. Want hy is die verlosser. As jy dan moet doen, is jy almal die mense Afrikaans. God said I'm going to do it in English. So I'm going to do this in English. Jesus is the Son, He's the Redeemer, He's the King and the Lord. He's the way through whose salvation comes. Without believing, without accepting, Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died on a cross for us, for our sins, and living a life of repenting, there is no salvation. There is no resurrection. There is no eternity. It is only through Him that we are saved. And we know that God is the Creator, but the one person that Jesus left for us is the Holy Spirit. And it's about the Holy Spirit that I want to speak today. Where does the Holy Spirit rest? Where does He rest? The aim today is to make us hungry to seek Him. As in Luke 11:13. So if you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who keep asking Him? And through this whole thing, God took me to He gave me a movie to watch. And I went into a life story as well, and the movie's name is The Hiding Place of Corrie ten Boom. See, because I want to try and through this story bring the power of the Holy Spirit through to us. Corrie was born in 1892 in Haarlem, Netherlands. And she died in April 1983. Now don't try and do maths, I'll give it to you. She was 91 years old. Otherwise you're going to try and get your calculators out and try and find out how old she was. She was a Dutch watchmaker together with a family in Haarlem and a devoted Christian. At the age of 58, together with her family, during the Holocaust in the Second World War, she helped over 800 Jews to escape from the Nazis. She got captured, imprisoned, and later, together with her sister Betsy, sent to a camp in Ravensbrück, Germany. Her sister died in 1944, a slow death. And through a big administration error, Corrie was released in December 31, 1944. There's a few quotes that I took out of it, and this is all building up to one thing. There's a few quotes that I took out of it, and it struck me. In darkness, God's truth shines most clear. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. You see, sometimes we go through these dark patches in our lives and we want to give up. We want to throw away that what God wants to do through us. Worry, for those that worry, listen to this one. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. So why are we worrying? This one I took to myself because we're in a place in the guest house where we've got to make changes. And for 10, 14 years, we've known the known. And if I make the changes, the known becomes uncertain. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Perhaps only when human effort had done its best and failed would God's power alone be free to work. But the one thing that stayed with me is something that she did and asked her dad when she was a little girl. Daddy, I'm afraid that I will one day not be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. Her father responded, tell me, when you take a trip on a train from Harlem to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks ahead? No, Daddy. You give me the money just before we get on the train. That's right. And so it is with our wise Father in heaven as well. He knows when you need it. You see, today, you do not need the strength to be a martyr. But as soon as we called by him to be a martyr for Jesus, he will supply the strength you need just in time. And as I read this, I thought to myself that drinking a cup of coffee, I thought to myself, in South Africa, we are safe from it. We are not martyrs at the moment. Because a martyr is someone that dies for Christ. So this, why give me this? Why did God take me to this? And suddenly he changed my thoughts of mind. And he took me to John 15:20 that says, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. You see, for some of us, it's not martyrdom. For some of us, the trial might be the cancer that's been diagnosed in your body. For some of us, it might just be that accident that happened. And you're not able to function on your own anymore. For some of us, it might be financial. For some of us, it might be the friend that just turned his back on you. Spreading false charges about you. For some of us, it might be in the school grounds, the vicious tongues of youngsters taking you out, setting you aside, not wanting to play with people and with them because you're different. For some of us, it's the little irritations at work. These might be the tests that we've got to go through. These might be the martyring that we've got to go through. How many of us have got to go through the act of forgiveness? Because that's the test that we also might have to go through. You see, after Corrie was released, she opened a home for the Holocaust survivors. But in that year, she was reminded of her and Betsy's conversation about how they will tell the world about the camp. And she started traveling the world. A story of God's forgiveness of sins and the need of people to forgive those that harmed them. So she found herself in Munich in 1947 in the church speaking about forgiving. Now, I'm not going to speak about forgiving and all the stuff that's around forgiving. At the close of the service, she recognized the man dressed in gray overcoat walking towards her. She froze. He was one of the most vicious guards of Ravensbrück, one who mocked the woman as they had to parade naked past him on their way to the showers. This all came back to her as he stood in front of her, pushing his hand out to shake hers. A fine message, Fraulein. How good to know that all our sins are at the bottom of the seal. I, who spoke so freely and easily of forgiveness, fumbled with my pocketbook rather than putting out my hand. My thoughts, he would not remember me. How could he with all those prisoners? I was at that moment I was face to face with one of my captors and my blood seemed to freeze. You spoke about Ravensbrück. I was a guard there. But since that time, I've given my life to Christ. I know He has forgiven me for all the cruel things I've done. But I would like you, from your lips, to tell me you will forgive me, as He stuck out His hand towards me. Thank you. I stood there. I could not forgive, as Betsy had died there, a slow, terrible death. How could he erase this with just a simple asking of forgiveness? He stood expectantly waiting for the handshake. I was wrestling with the most terrible thing I ever had to do. I knew I had to do it as the message that God forgives as a prior condition that we forgive those who have injured us. Jesus, help me. I can lift my hand. That is all I can do. You supply the feeling. And at that moment, the most incredible thing took place. A current raced down my shoulder through my arm and sprang into our joined hands. I forgive you, brother, as she cried with my whole heart. We grasped each other's hands for a long time. I have never felt God's love so intensely. I knew it was not my love, as I tried and I did not have the power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. This, she told, as she opened the word to 1 Peter 4:12 to 14. And that's where we're going to stand. On 1 Peter 4:12 to 14. Dear friends, Some translations say, dear beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal, the trial, the persecution, the harvest that is taking place, the cancer, the finances, the setting apart, setting yourself aside because no one wants to play with you, as though something strange were happening to you. Instead, because you are participating in the sufferings of the Messiah, keep on rejoicing so that you may be glad and shout for joy when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted, it might only be an insult, might only be a loss of friends, a mocking, a concentration camp, death. Because of the name of the Messiah, you are blessed. And here it is. For the glorious Spirit of God is resting on you. Some translations read it, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory rests on you. Of course, none of you should suffer for being a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or a troublemaker. But if you suffer for being a Christian, do not feel ashamed, but glorify God with that name. The question came to me is, do we all suffer? Is the suffering just for martyrs? I think all suffering counts at that moment for the Holy Spirit to be upon you. You see, the same principles are in play. Will I trust Him, or will I become angry at what I'm going through? Is it His fault that I'm treated this way? You see, at that stage, at that moment, in our trial, in the hour, the enemy will throw into your face, where is your God? If He loves you, He will stop this. If He loves you, He will take away this cancer. If He loves you, He will heal you immediately. If He loves you, He will take away the mockery. If He loves you, He will set the finances for you again right. He will take away the pain. He will take away the chemo. He will take away the allergies. He will take away being humiliated in front of the people. So where is He? At that moment, we do not feel the glory of God. At that moment, we are not glorious. At that moment of the cross, there was no glory. It did not look like glory. It did not feel like glory. But to God, it brought glory. You see, if we receive our suffering, our persecution, our sickness in prayer and in magnitude towards Jesus Christ, we suffer as a Christian, and His promise, as in 1 Peter 4, will be true to you. God answers, here I am resting upon you through the Holy Spirit. Here I am resting upon you, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God. What happens when the Spirit rests upon you in that hour of persecution? In that hour as you sit at the doctor's room telling you that you've got cancer, that you've got a sickness that now can be healed, lying in that bed in hospital saying that your leg or your arm is amputated. What happens to you at that moment? That the vicious tongue of someone humiliate you. What happens at that moment when a friend turns his back on you? When he comes and rests upon you. There are 7 points that I want to share. The first point is the spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. In John 15:26, when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the spirit of truth who comes from the Father. You see, the force of the darkness, main object is to make God look distant from you. In your hour of need, he will do anything to try and block out the light. The Spirit resting upon you brings the truth to you, even if it is only a fraction that you need. He will tell you what is true and what is false. He will tell you when the evil says to you, "Where is your God?" "I am here. I am the Spirit of truth. God is here because I do not lie. I cannot lie." The second point is the spirit of glorifying Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is the way. Jesus says that I give you the Spirit because he will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The foundation of the center of the Holy Spirit is to bring truth to us regarding the glory of Jesus, his excellence, his beauty, his magnitude, so that it can fill our hearts. Without Jesus, we are hell-bound. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, "I will be with you always till the end of times." The work of the Holy Spirit is for us to be able to see him there with the eyes of the heart. According to Ephesians 1:17, it is the Spirit of glory and of God resting upon you that fulfills Matthew 28:20. "I will be with you always." I will never forsake you if you are a child of mine. The third point is he rests upon us to sustain love to Christ. In Matthew 10:39, "The one who finds his life will lose it, but the one who loses his life because of me will find it." At that moment, he brings to our mind that the glory that we are losing in this time of shame or suffering or end is not worth holding on to. But the glory you are about to gain is infinitely better. The next point, the Holy Spirit is the imperishable seed by which we are born again. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not by a seed that perishes, but by one that cannot perish, by the living and everlasting word of God." It brings conviction to us at that stage that all flesh is like grass. It perishes. But the seed, the word of God, is the imperishable seed that abides forever. And if we are born again, we will abide forever. In the hour of our suffering, the Spirit of glory resting upon us will bring to us the truth about 1 Peter 5:10. "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you by the Messiah Jesus to his eternal glory, will restore you, establish you, and support you." The Spirit of glory resting upon you will give you a taste of that at that moment. For we are called to eternal glory in Christ. And without the Spirit, we will not be able to do it. in our hour of trial, the Holy Spirit will overcome any doubt that we have. We sometimes struggle with doubt. We sometimes wonder how it will be at the end. We sometimes wonder how we will get out of this situation. We sometimes wonder how the path of my chemo will be, how the path of my kids will be, how the path of my school year will be without friends. But the Spirit comes and He reminds us of the sonship. At that moment, it might only be that I'll be able to call Abba Father, as in Romans 8:15. For the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. The work in that hour is to preserve us. To know that we have a place belonging as adopted sons to God Almighty. Sometimes we will sit in that doctor's room, we will stand on that playground, we will be confronted by a bank manager, we will be confronted by the evil, and we will thinking, what do I have to say? The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, as in Mark 13:11. When they take you away and hand you over to trial, do not be anxious of what you will be saying. Instead, say what is given to you at that time, because it will not be you speaking. It will be the Holy Spirit. Do not worry what you're going to say. Give the Holy Spirit time to speak to the person in front of you, because He knows the heart of that person. He knows what that person needs to hear. The seventh point is, the Spirit of glory will give Himself to you. And in Himself, He will give you the Father, and He will give you the Son. You will taste who the Godhead is at that moment. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says that the grace of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. At that moment, you will taste and experience the precious love of all three at the same time. The love of the Father for you as His child, as His adopted child. The Son's covering spirit of all your sins that the enemy is throwing to you. And at that hour, the Spirit sustaining and upholding your faith. So if God then promises in 2 Peter 4:14, the Spirit, why do we not seek Him? Why do we not seek Him? For John 3, for John 3 says that He is the Spirit that causes us to be born again. He gives us the ability to say Jesus is our Lord. In Romans 8:13, He puts to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, His power sanctifies us. In Ephesians 1:17, He's the Spirit of wisdom, and without that we will live a life of foolishness. Look at this world the foolishness of this world. He's the spirit of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, we are given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. Romans 8:11, He will raise us, our mortal bodies, to resurrection. Why don't we seek Him then? If He has been given to us by Jesus Christ, as Jesus ascended up into heaven, to us on earth, no spirit, no new birth. No spirit, no confession of the Lordship of Jesus. No spirit, no victory over sin. No spirit, no progress in sanctification. No spirit, no spiritual wisdom. No spirit, no spiritual gifts. No spirit, no resurrection. Why do we not seek Him? Why will we not want to seek Him day after day after day? You might say that I've been reborn. God promises the Holy Spirit. Yes, He does. But in Ephesians 5:18, Paul writes, do not get drunk from wine. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why will he say that? Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. If I'm reborn, I've got to seek the Holy Spirit daily. He's our companion daily. The Spirit does not come to me in two parts and into 85 parts and into all in three parts. We are looking for the Spirit as a whole. The wholeness of the Holy Spirit into us. We experience Him in fragmentations. But He's a wholeness in us. God wants to bring the Spirit into wholeness of us. He doesn't want to partake a little bit of the Spirit into each one of us. He wants to fill us with who the Holy Spirit is so that we can stand strong, so that we can glorify His name, so that we can be uttering the word Abba Father. How do we do it? There's four steps and hold on, I'm nearly finished. How do we do it? This thing is mad. Meditate on what God says in the Scripture. Let the word of the Lord inhabit you richly with wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with thankfulness in your heart. Meditate the Scriptures. It is the Spirit who gives life. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. Believe what you hear in the word. Galatians 3:5. Does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you because you do the actions of the law or because you believe what you heard? Hold fast in obedience to what you hear and believe. John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Then my Father will love him, and we will go to him and make our home with him. Does this sound like unconditional love? Or is it conditional love? Seek, desire the Spirit. Desire the Spirit. John 7:37-39. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. This drink is drink of the Holy Spirit. The one who believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, will have rivers of living waters flowing from his heart. Now he said this of the Spirit, whom those who were believing in him were to receive. Be thirsty. Be thirsty. If any thirst comes and drinks, You cannot force water down. Sorry, guys, this thing is jumping like a mad thing. You cannot force water down someone that is not thirsty. You need to desire the Spirit. You need to give yourself to want the Spirit. You need to want to drink from the fountain. You need to be in the Word so that you can have the fullness of this fountain. God wants to sustain you here, now, and ever. David writes in Psalm 42, 1-2, as an antelope pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When may I come and appear in God's presence? One of the words that came out this morning, Psalm 63, 1, God, you are my God. I will fervently seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry, weary, and parched land. Come to the Lord with thirst. Without the Holy Spirit, we are dry. We are dry. Without the working of the Spirit in us, we're alone. You see, Jesus did not ascend into heaven and left us alone. He left us with the Holy Spirit. Thirst for it. Seek for it. Want it. Because in your time, in your hour of need, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and rests upon you. It's His resting place. Bringing truth. Bringing Jesus. Bringing the Godhead, who God is, to you. Assisting you, helping you. Because He is the helper, He is the comforter. Why don't we seek Him? Why don't we seek Him? Paul says, seek Him every day. Seek Him every day. We sometimes stand here and ask for the Holy Spirit to be here. Invite Him into our meetings. But if we are full of the Holy Spirit, He is there. If we are filled with Him, the Word says, where two or three or four are together, I am there. Now that I am is the Holy Spirit. I am there. He's the one on earth. He's the one helping us. Seek Him. Seek Him. You cannot seek the Holy Spirit if you are not reborn again. If you haven't taken Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't proclaimed that Jesus is the way, Jesus is salvation. But you see, the Spirit is Spirit. Jesus is Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can only live in us if we are reborn. If the Spirit in us is awakened again. And the only way that you know that you are reborn is when you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, that He died for you on the cross for your sins, that He's resurrected again, He will come again, and He's the way. Because it's only through Jesus that we are saved. Without Jesus, the Holy Spirit cannot work in you. As you close your eyes, is there anyone here that has never confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior? You see, just belonging to a church does not make you saved. Just being grown up in a Christian home does not make you saved. You've got to confess Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here that are uncertain about their Savior, about their life, why don't you just put up your hand? Make sure, if you're too afraid to put up your hand now, make sure that you come and speak to one of us. If you're uncertain, do not go out of this place without being certain that Jesus Christ is the center of your life, that you've given your heart to Him. Because without Him, there's no eternal life. As Paul says, seek the Holy Spirit daily. It also comes to the place where for you to seek the Holy Spirit, you've got to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Is there someone here that has never been baptized with the Holy Spirit? As God then says, seek the Holy Spirit. Seek Him in His fullness. Seek Him who He is. I believe that you have all then been baptized with the Holy Spirit and you're all Christians. Confessed Jesus Christ in your lives. I want you to turn 1-1 or 2-2 or 3-3 or 4-4 to one another for the next 5 minutes and pray for each one, and each one just pray that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit again. Because the word says, seek Him. Seek the living waters. And they who seek, am I not a good Father that will supply you with the Holy Spirit? I will give it to you. It's a present that Jesus gave us. So turn to one another and just pray for one another to seek the Holy Spirit.